Graham, appreciate the visit. I know it's a busy morning, so thank you for taking the time.
I was happy to do it until Jude read off all the potentials.
I was hoping he was going to mention Irish War Cry at some point.
Now I'm not stressed.
Well, we don't want to cause you any distress. Your horse ran great in the Pimlico Special. You had to be pleased as punch.
I was. I mean, look, to me, as much as anything, it was a relief. It was great to see him kind of show everybody what I know he's capable of. So it was great for him. I was delighted for Hillendale and for Mr. Marceau, obviously. It was, I feel a certain amount of responsibility as a trainer and to get him to perform at his best, and he was able to do it on that day, and that was a big thrill for all of us.
Yeah, he looked tremendous that day. He took the field wire to wire. Talk about the time from May 18th to tonight, Graham. What have these past few weeks been like for Irish War Cry?
You know, he's had a relatively straightforward month since the Pimlico Special. He had a routine breeze at the end of last week, very similar to what he did leading up to the special. So really, it's been pretty uncomplicated. We shipped here on Wednesday night, got in Thursday morning, and he's just had yesterday and this morning he galloped on the track. So really, it's been pretty smooth sailing.
He was allowed to bounce right along in the Pimlico Special, and that seems to be the way he likes to run. Is that going to be kind of the same plan tonight?
Well, interestingly, when Jose came to the paddock for the Pimlico Special, we kind of talked about how much speed there was in the race, and we'd probably sit off them. So no one was more surprised than I was when he jumped out and was on the lead, which was great. I mean, that's why he used Jose Ortiz, because he can make those decisions. So I think with that in mind, I'm very much going to leave it up to him tonight. He knows the horse. He's got confidence in the horse. So that's going to be his call. But I think this is a horse that you can do either or. You can be on the lead, and he can handle that well, or he can sit just off the pace. And we're drawn on the outside, so he has the option to see what everybody does.
Graham, he's quietly earned $1.2 million. And I say quietly because when you think of the millionaires in the sport, Irish War Cry isn't necessarily the first name that comes to mind. But this horse is 5-for-12 lifetime. He has a pair of runner-up finishes to boot. He has been consistent for the most part, barring a couple of efforts that were subpar. But for the most part, he's been pretty consistent. You mentioned your belief that you've always had in him. What is it about him that's given you that belief throughout much of his career?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's a spectacular individual. I mean, he is like an oil painting. He's a beautiful horse. And watching him train in the morning, he's spectacular. I mean, he's as impressive in the morning as any horse I've ever had, apart from perhaps Animal Kingdom. So obviously for me, the frustration has been not to see him consistently doing that in the afternoon. And I think when you look at his PPs, like you say, he has, you know, his PPs are phenomenal, but when he runs poorly, he runs really poorly. And I've kind of put that down to this condition called the thumps, which is an electrolyte imbalance, which he does struggle with the heat a little bit. And that's going to be a worry tonight. You know, Pimlico Special, we had a really cool day. And I think that really played into his hands. At least tonight, the one thing we have going for us, it's night racing, so it won't be the full-on sun of the day. But it is going to be hot. But we've dramatically decreased his dose of Lasix. He's getting just a minimal dose of Lasix. And I think that was a big part of what helped us in the Pimlico Special.
Is that common in racehorses, Graham?
I think it's a lot more common than we realize.
Well, hopefully by the time this race goes, scheduled post time 9:39, it's cooled off quite a bit. That would be lovely for him. And is it a concern when you ship too that you can't really control what's going on?
Dude, you know me, everything is a concern. I'll find plenty of things to worry about. So, I mean, look, it's always, you know, Pimlico's great because we just ship out of our barn on the morning of the race. So that's obviously a lot easier. But he's actually handled this trip very well. I thought leading up to the Derby, you know, I forgot how intense Derby week is here. It had been a while since I'd run a horse in the Derby. And when we showed up with Irish War Cry last year, you know, he was one of the kind of now horses. He was one of the favorites. And there was a lot of fuss about him every day, and it's tough on us, it's tough on the horses, and I think that showed on race day.
Do you think the horses can sense that, Graham?
Definitely. He got to be quite difficult when we were here at Derby week. Just little things, like when we took him out to graze, he didn't want to come back into the barn, he didn't want to go back in his stall, and that can become a real problem when every time you turn around, you've got 20 or 30 people watching. So, Yes, I think they're definitely aware of what's going on around them. He's handled this trip very well. We trained him this morning. He's relatively relaxed. We got to ship into Bill Mott's barn, so we kind of kept into a bit of a routine, which I think has helped.
When you're at Churchill Downs, I mean, you're talking about what Animal Kingdom was 2011, so you're 7 years removed from that Kentucky Derby victory. When you're at Churchill Downs and you look at the Twin Spires, do you ever just stop and reflect and think about that day and think about what that meant to your career?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, it's not something I think about all the time, but certainly when I'm here, it's more in my mind. And, you know, I just watched Justify going out to train, and it kind of came to me, you know, I've been lucky enough to win that race, and it's quite extraordinary, really. So, yeah, it's something certainly I think about, and you think about it much more when you're here. It's a special place for that reason, you know.
We heard from Jimmy Barnes earlier in the show, Graham, and he talked about this accomplishment and the achievement that Justify has pulled off by winning the Triple Crown and, of course, having not started as a two-year-old and getting started late, so to speak, in his three-year-old campaign. As a fellow trainer, put that accomplishment into perspective. How impressive is it?
Yeah, I mean, look, this horse broke the mold, let's face it. And yes, it's incredibly impressive what those guys have done with this horse. And not just this horse, what they've done, I mean, I think, is it five derbies now for Baffert? I think I'm right in saying that.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I mean, it's tough to win one and get back, but to do what he's done, and you know, I watch trainers before I won the Derby. I always watched how trainers dealt with the Triple Crown. I always thought it was fascinating, and it's still something that interests me. You know, and the way he came back and worked Justify here, you know, less than 10 days, maybe just a week after the Preakness. I mean, that takes some courage to be able to come back and do that. It's not easy. I mean, I'd still be trying to figure out, you know, how to get him back to the track after a week, probably, and just going easy on him, where Baffert's already worked his horse. But that's what makes him so great, that he can do that. And the success he's had is phenomenal. I think we probably don't appreciate it enough, really. We kind of take it for granted a little bit.
He seems to get away with things that other trainers can't. You know, he can work his horses faster, and he can work them back on shorter rest. It's very unique how he trains horses. He changed the face of training in California. I mean, it was so noticeable when I was training, because, you know, you'd want to work a horse in company with a fellow trainer, and they'd say, well, we don't want to go too fast. We want to go, you know, 101 or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the same trainer, like 2 years later, after Baffert was starting his hot streak, I want a horse that can work like 59 and change, you know. And it was a total turnaround of how people trained horses when he came on the scene.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, at the end of the day, good horses work fast, and you've got to find the fine line between allowing them to do that without worrying about them hurting themselves, and it's a very fine line, I think, you balance as a trainer with a really good horse.
Graham Motion joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He will send out Irish War Cry in tonight's Grade 1 Stephen Foster, a race you'll hear exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, our coverage beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Graham, you're going to follow up Irish War Cry's effort with a starter in the Grade 3 Regret Stakes, which is race 9 on the program. That's Secret Message, a 2-year-old daughter of Hat Trick. Or 3-year-old daughter, I'm sorry, of Hat Trick. Tell me a little bit about her.
Yeah, so this filly was a private purchase. Brad Wiseborn noticed her over the winter running at Turfway, and her numbers were very good. And when she came to me, I was impressed with her physically. She's a really attractive, good-looking filly. So, look, I think her last race is a little bit tough to read in the Hilltop. As you guys know, it was a bog that day. You couldn't blame anyone for necessarily not running their best race. And she actually ran a very creditable second that day. She came out of the race great. She worked super last weekend. So, you know, I feel very good about running her. It's a very competitive race. It's a great betting race. But I really like to think she's going to be competitive in there. Obviously, that's why we're here. And to have Irad on her is a big plus as well.
Yeah, he's a difference maker, isn't he? He can really help you win.
He's so patient. You know, I think to me that's the difference. And you know, I mean, the best grass riders are the patient riders, the ones that can wait till the last minute to push the button. And Ira just has a great knack for that.
Yeah, speaking of which, nice win last week with the great Edgar Prado. You guys are a fantastic team.
Wow, what a Hall of Fame ride that was. I mean, it was that was a big thrill for me. I mean, that was a race that we picked out for spring quality last November when he won at Aqueduct. You know, we gave him the winter off, and that was always my goal, was to get him to Manhattan. I was really disappointed when he got beat in the prep by Chad's Chilean horse. I couldn't see me getting beaten that day. And you know me, that's not usually my style. So I kind of was disappointed, but things worked out. It was a great prep for him, and he sure showed his colors in the Manhattan.
Did you know you had it the whole time, Graham?
You know, it's funny. I jumped up because I was like, how cool was that? You know, especially to win the race 2 years in a row. And then when I'm walking down towards the winner's circle, I'm thinking, shoot, you know, I think we won it, but it was pretty close. So I started second-guessing myself. But no, I felt pretty strongly that we won it. But I've been fooled before at Belmont. Sometimes it's a funny angle.
Yeah, he's trainer Graham Motion, and he's really on a roll. He's looking to continue that role later this evening at Churchill Downs. Graham, really appreciate the visit, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you, and all the best tonight. Look forward to getting a chance to see you when we get over there, and hopefully see you in the winner's circle.
Thanks, guys. It's always good talking with you guys.